I want to apologize to Charlie Metzger. When I called him up for an announcement today, he was not expecting that. And so he looked at my frown at him coming down the aisle. It was because he was thinking, what am I supposed to say when I get up there? But he was real good about that and picked up the ball right where it needed to be picked up. So thank you, Charlie, very much. And be in prayer for all the activities of this week, both the toy ministry, choir ministry. Great service to invite other folks to and say there's going to be some great music and good news sung and shared about next week. So thank you very much for praying for the choir. They're working hard and toy ministry working hard. And God, through your life, He's always working in a great way. So we thank Him for that. One of the great things that William Shakespeare wrote was a phrase about mercy that caught my attention years ago. And you probably didn't read Shakespeare last week or last month or last year or maybe since ninth grade. Did anybody have to read Shakespeare this year in school? Be brave enough to raise your hand. Great. Three, four. All right. You guys, I should ask you where this phrase came from. I don't know if you would know it, but the phrase is, the quality of mercy is not strained. That's what Shakespeare wrote. The quality of mercy is not strained. It is twice blessed. It rains from heaven. It blesses both the giver and receiver, and it is an attribute of God. Okay, so Shakespeare had a heart for the mercy of God. He would quote Scripture a lot. Does anybody of the four know where that came from? Okay, it was from, unfortunately, one of his more vulgar plays. It was almost like a racist play. The Merchant of Venice is where it came from. But Shakespeare, even though he was vulgar, he wrote about God and the need for mercy. Maybe that's why he wrote about mercy, because he knew he was vulgar. So that will be some hope for some of us in here. You know, when you recognize that attribute in your life, you turn to the solution, who would be the Lord. And so Shakespeare wrote about the mercy of God. Mary talked about the mercy of God when she heard that she was going to be the mother of Jesus. And according to the Bible, Mary was a very humble, godly woman. Okay? And the reason she was humble and godly, it was because Jesus was coming into her life. And in fact, when the angel came and spoke to her, the angel said, Mary, God's favor is on you. Or an old phrase might say, Mary, you're full of grace. Okay. In other words, God is going to give you a gift, Mary, that you don't have, and that gift is Jesus. So Mary's almost like a picture of the testimony of a Christian, somebody who feels like, man, I don't have anything going for me. I don't know where my life's going. It's rather simple and mundane. And all of a sudden, Jesus is coming into Mary's life. And she starts to give her testimony here in Luke chapter 1. And she mentions the word mercy two times when she gives her testimony. And remember that, again, Mary's godly because Jesus is coming into her life. And anybody who ever became godly gets godly because of Christ coming. If you remember last week, Shelley's outstanding sermon, she said, hey, God's not up on a high building and we're not climbing a ladder up to the Lord. See, Mary wasn't doing that. God came down to Mary. God will come down to your soul and my soul if we're open to Him. So Mary's testimony could be a picture of ours. You can receive a humble heart, a righteous heart, a servant heart like Mary had. Okay, she could be a model of yours and mine in terms of following the Lord. She says this, God's mercy is on those who fear Him. Lord, she had a high awe of God and a great fear of God. She said, God remembers to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants from generation to generation. Remember, the descendants of Abraham was the slave nation of Israel. 400 years in a bad, bad situation. And that really represented their own separation from God or the sin in their life. And so one of the testimonies Mary is going to give us is this. Hey, no matter how big your sin problem is, 400 years worth. You might say, man, I mean, there's sin in my life and there's sin in the life of my, my parents, my grandparents, and 400 years worth. They're just, you don't understand. I've been struggling with something for 20 years, 30 years, 80 years. God would say, hey, His mercy is bigger than your 400-year sin problem. And He will come and rescue you if you give Him a chance. He did it for Mary, so He will do it for you. He'll do it for His people, so He'll do it for you if you say, I want to be one of His people. So I ask that the mercy of God hit our hearts like it hit Mary's hearts this morning, and we see the attribute of God's mercy in the Christmas story and in the coming of Jesus. Now, in the Bible, mercy is one of the most well-known attributes of God, and it happens to be one of my favorites, along with omnipresence. And in the Old Testament alone, mercy is mentioned 200 times as being critical to God's relationship to people. So, and when Hebrew people look at the word mercy in the Old Testament, their eyes get really big and they start to salivate because it has a very special meaning. In fact, there's no one English word that's an equivalent to the word mercy in the Bible. Some versions, if you have King James or New American Standard, they try to be real accurate. They say loving kindness, the loving kindness of God. In the Psalms it says, Lord, whatever mercy is, you know what? Your loving kindness is better than life. Something stronger than even a life itself is the mercy of God from everlasting to everlasting. His mercy is. It's part of His character. Never a time when God wasn't merciful. Never a time when He won't be merciful in the future. And also on a Sunday morning, there He is for you. Loving kindness, steadfast love is also a phrase that's sometimes translated as mercy. You think, I like that one the best. Steadfast love. So there's strength and there's affectionate commitment or warmth. NIV kind of underplays it a bit, maybe on purpose. Says mercy is great love or compassion, unfailing love. And three quick examples of the 200 examples of mercy in the Old Testament. One in Exodus, when God reintroduces Himself to the people when He's given the law the second time. So it's a pretty intense time. God's saying, hey, this is the law, Ten Commandments here. This holds for all time. God says this, tell the people, the Lord, the merciful and gracious God, merciful to thousands, and yet He won't let the unjust be declared not guilty. He won't let the just be, He won't let the guilty be unpunished, that is. But the Lord, He wants people to know, even in giving the law, that hey, He is a merciful God. And the steadfast love and the strength that He has toward people, it's gonna be there. You can count on that and ask for that. Psalm 23, David mentions the mercy of God. He says, surely goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life, and I'm going to end up in God's house forever. So in a way, it gives an assurance of salvation when you know the mercy of God. David in Psalm 51, pretty much the worst moment in his life. Maybe, you know, you've experienced that with the Lord, or who knows, Lord willing, you don't in the future. But when David realized that he murdered, you know, he committed murder, he ran away from God and committed adultery, his first prayer in Psalm 51, when he expressed what he needed from God, he said, have mercy on me, O God. He used the word mercy three times in one line. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, same word. According to your great compassion, same word. Blot out my transgressions. So if you're ever in a desperate situation, you could say, God, would you show your character on my behalf and be merciful and come through for me with your unfailing, steadfast love, which is represents the relationship of a superior to an inferior. We have to remember that about us and the Lord. Even though He calls us a friend if we would know Christ, He wants us to know, hey, He's way above us, and we're still a creature. We need His grace every day. If you'd maybe look at a picture of a once upon a time story that would show a picture of the mercy of God. Two boys go out in the woods on a cold winter day, and they get lost in the woods. and they start to get cold and afraid a little bit. They want to pass the time away, so they start throwing snowballs at each other just to break the ice, as it were. And they continue to play, realizing they're a little bit in danger. And they see a little grizzly bear, a little baby grizzly bear going by. And they think, wow, look at that, how cute. You know, maybe it wants to have a snowball battle with us. So they get the snowballs and they're firing away at the little baby grizzly bear, hitting it in the head and in the eyes. And the baby grizzly bear is whining and doesn't know quite how to respond. Then all of a sudden, the mom grizzly bear shows up. And her instinct thought is, how fast should I kill these boys? You know, that's the only thing she knows how to do. That's the right thing for a mom grizzly bear to do. But surprise of all surprises, she sees the size of those boys, the size of the cub, and she lays down next to the boys who are in massive rebellion. And she allows them to get warm around who she is. And then she protects her cub, and she protects the boys, and she actually guides the boys out of the woods to a road, to a place of safety for them. Now you would say, well, that's a merciful mum grizzly. You know, that would be a totally amazing thing if that should ever happen. And God, the mercy of God, would come to us, not only protect us from judgment, but abide with us in friendship and companionship all the way to the place of safety with Himself. So the mercy of God, an amazing thing that Mary would acknowledge her need for, and you and I are to do so also. I picked a bunch of scriptures that would help us see God's mercy. I didn't go for all 200, although about midway through it felt like it. So ask God to speak to your heart through His Word, as His Spirit would use His Word to help. God introduces Himself pretty early in the Bible. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon or destroy you. In other words, He's in your corner. The quality of mercy is not strained. Remember, Shakespeare said. In other words, God is not twisting His own arm and saying, I really don't want to show mercy. I'd rather destroy you, but I guess I'll do it. You know, that's not the way mercy is. In the Bible, three times God says, I delight in mercy. You can think, well, is that a part of the character of a believer? You see somebody out of bounds, or, you know, they're definitely in the wrong, and your first response is, I would delight to show mercy at that point. Well, that's God's response. He says He delights in mercy, even though He's 100% just. And so to know that about the Lord helps us move closer to Him. King David, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. So bigger than our sin, bigger than my spouse's sin, bigger than my family member's sin, you know, bigger than my neighbor's sin, is the mercy of God, bigger than my sin. Wow. It endures forever. And so God wants us to know that. Bigger than a 400-year sin problem. Some people look at a country, you know, old America, for two or three generations now, you know, just running away from God. Oh, you know, it is bad. God says, well, I help a country after 400 years, maybe I can help the blessed USA also. You know, if His people pray that way. But that's the Lord toward us, toward your life. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving. This is Daniel, who's a godly man. He's praying this. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against Him. So Daniel knows he needs mercy. Mary knows she needs mercy. Remember when Jesus died, He died in between two sinners. This is where I belong. Right here with these guys. That's it. Their names could have been Daniel and Mary. He said, I'm for them. Could be for you and your spouse next to you. You and the guy next to you. Jesus dying in the middle. The mercy of God expressed. And God's mercy motivates us at the level of our emotions. Again, if you're the Hebrew scholar, you don't know what to write. If you're the Christian, you don't know what to sing, but you sing anyway. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. 82 times in the Psalms, praises are given to God for His mercy, His character, His quality. How about our own heart, our broken and surrendered need for mercy? Shelley hit this last week fantastically. Job, he comes to God and he knows he's in trouble. He can't find a way out of it. He don't know why everything's happening that has happened. He said, how can I find words to argue with God? I can only plead with my judge for mercy. Not a bad heart to have for the Lord. Lord, can you just act on my behalf? I don't want to have to tell you why I deserve your help, you know, because I know I don't. William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, said, a surrendered life is a powerful life. We saw that in our Sunday school handout. A surrendered life, like Job had, is a powerful life. So whatever pain you're in because of life, or sin trap you're in because of yourself, say, but I'm going to ask for mercy. I'm going to surrender. Shakespeare went on to say this in the same play, injustice, none of us would see salvation. So we pray for mercy. It's good to remember. For us and on behalf of the whole world, injustice, none of us would see salvation. So we pray for mercy. Billy Graham would point out appropriately that actually the justice of God is come through because of Jesus. He says, I'll take care of the justice end. Let me pass on the mercy end to anybody who would say, this is what I need. Our broken and surrendered need for mercy impacts our prayer life. Daniel says, we don't pray to you because we are righteous. Be a dumb reason to pray to God. My righteousness is Christ. We pray because of your great mercy. So all your prayer life, all your devotional life, your singing life, your serving life, it's because, boy, somebody stood in your behalf and took the penalty for your sin and my sin. Wow. How can I serve him? I'll shovel leaves or whatever, anything. I'll do something significant. Share the gospel. His mercies are new every morning. And then the mercy of God can actually motivate us towards salvation. As Jesus told this story about this guy, he comes to church, apparently comes on a regular basis. This is how he is in church. Maybe he's just praying for the service to be over, but he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the extent of his relationship with God. And Jesus says, this guy, he's totally at peace with God. See that? Because he knows he needs God's mercy. If you're here today and you think, I don't know where to start with God. I'm a church person and I'm probably better than the guy at the bar this morning, or whoever you want to compare yourself to. But if when you stand before a holy God, you say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, now we're talking. Now there's some peace. Now you're going to go home with rightness in your soul. And so would you pray that prayer if you need converted? Certainly at a big group like this, there's some people who said, I never turned to Christ. Why don't you turn to the Lord with this scripture prayer? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, he'll give you the peace. That's his desire. God, and then God just doesn't say, hey, I'm coming, receive mercy, but I'm coming to your life, Mary, and to all you. So express mercy to others. James says, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, and then remember that mercy triumphs over judgment. So mercy actually affects the way we communicate with other people. I find the most effective evangelists, for example, are those who are pretty merciful. You think of the great ones like Billy Graham, D.L. Moody, Franklin Graham. They tell it like it is, but in no way do they seem to enjoy beating up on a sinner or even on a backslidden Christian. You know, they don't do that. They seem to be merciful, like pleading for their own loved one, their own son or daughter, brother or sister. So how we do that on behalf of one another. You know who was a great example of mercy in the Old Testament? Abraham. If you look in Genesis 18, it's pretty incredible. Abraham, he saw the worst place he can think of, and the people's behavior was horrendous and horrific, the city of Sodom. Abraham comes before God, and he knows God. God says, that's it. It's over for Sodom. You know what Abraham does? Seven times, he says, Lord, don't kill Sodom. Lord, don't kill Sodom. Lord, don't kill Sodom. There might be 30 people there. There might be, Lord, don't kill Sodom. There might be 20. Lord, don't kill Sodom. There might be 10 people there. You know, can you ask God for a heart of prayer like that on behalf of somebody that you think is just the pits? The pits? A town, a person, maybe yourself? Lord, don't kill me. I don't know how you pray for different countries. Do you ever pray, Lord, don't kill Iran? I pray that seven times. There might be 10 people over there who are open to you. It's the heart of God's mercy. That's why Jesus didn't come back yet, according to Peter. He's waiting so that others might be saved. God will make you a defense attorney and an advocate for the lost world and the fallen Christian. Not a prosecuting attorney for the lost world or the fallen Christian. Who is the prosecuting attorney in the Bible? Unfortunately, there's good ones today, but in the Bible, it's the devil. He's the prosecuting attorney. Jesus is the defense attorney. So you want to take that on as a follower of His. The mercy of God. And God chose us to act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with your God. The definition of mercy is the justice is satisfied. And then God equips and calls us to be merciful, even to those who are having troubles with doubt. Give mercy. Snatch them from the fire. Show mercy mixed with fear. In other words, there's a respect for God there. To the agnostic, to the skeptic, to the ones of different faith who don't know Christ, to the Muslim, to the Hindu, to the New Age guy. Show mercy mixed with fear. Snatch from the fire. There's a real danger of hell without Christ. But God would come. You know, because in your life, in your ministry, you'll have two ministries, one or the other. You'll have a ministry of condemnation or you'll have a ministry of salvation. Which ministry do you want to take on? Ministry of salvation or a ministry of condemnation? God would call you, along with His Son, to the ministry of salvation. A couple other things here. Don't be a Pharisee against yourself or others. That's something God will steer you away from. Remember, you're in need of mercy, so is the other guy. Help those in any trouble. It was the Good Samaritan who showed love, and Jesus said, Jesus said, who loved the guy? And the man in the story said, well, the one who showed him mercy. So you can help the one in need. And then lean on the mercies of God to inspire you to holy living. There's a fellow named Barry Black, very enjoyable to read his biography, or part of it. When he was a young child, he came home from school, and he found his mom and all the furniture in the house on the sidewalk on three different occasions because they were evicted. There's the mom, you know, crying and upset. There's the furniture, and here comes Barry. And, you know, the loss and the grief and the embarrassment, there it is. And on three occasions, he said he saw God's mercy come because there was provision. Somebody helped the family and, you know, got him a place to stay and all of those other things. Maybe it was the Salvation Army. I don't know. But that impacted his life. And he turned to Christ. And he starts following the Lord despite his meager background. He ends up a two-star admiral in the Navy. And eventually he gets promoted to being the chaplain of the U.S. Senate for the last 8 years under two presidents. know, he's ministering to people. He wrote a book called From the Hood to the Hill. And you might say he wasn't sure which one was worse, the hood or the hill. And different kind of sin. And he came with mercy, you know, to both places. That's the only way you get anything done. And he said his life was impacted very much by the passage where two passages where God says he's the Father of mercies or the Father of all compassion. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And he said it motivated him to, in view of God's mercies, to present his body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. In other words, I'm going to do this for you, Lord, because of all you've done for me. And he's just a great influence for Christ in a number of ways. He was on, In Touch about 2 months ago. But the mercy of God, Mary needed it, Daniel needed it, you and I need it. The people God sends us to this week, might God open our hearts to pass it on as we have received it. And be close to the Lord at his table as we pray to him and know his goodness. Let's pray together.